Anybody remember what our series is about? It's about parables, right? But it's about fruitfulness. Amen? And we're almost done with our first parable, and it almost took us the whole summer. And the parable is about four soils, and it's about producing. Amen? Bible says in the second book, I believe, of Genesis, when God spoke a blessing over his people, he said, be fruitful and multiply. So that's actually the desire of God for us. But that's not only God's desire for you and me. That has been put in our DNA. So now it becomes my desire. I was made in the image of God. And God likes to be fruitful and to multiply. That's why he got this earth going, right? Because he wanted to create people like him, to make us in his image. And so God wants us to be fruitful. God actually commands you to be fruitful. You're not supposed to live a life and then look back and say, well, what have I done with my life? God wants you to look back and say, God, this is what I've done for you. I know we always preach salvation, meaning doesn't matter what you've done. That's before you became a believer. But now that you are a believer, it does matter what you've done. You will be rewarded according to your works. Not the works to produce salvation. Your rewards will be according to your works. So let's say in the army, one guy just doesn't do anything. And another one, you know, goes ahead and fights and wins battles. Guess what? Each one will be rewarded differently. Same with Christianity. When you fight your battles, your spiritual battles, when you fight the demonic battles that come against you, you will be rewarded. In this life, I'm not just talking about, you know, in sweet by and by. I'm talking here and now. You will be rewarded. And so God doesn't want a Christian to just be like, okay, I just got to get to heaven, man. I just got to get to heaven. That's all I need. You know, then I'll put my breastplate of righteousness and I'll walk in it. Then I'll put my helmet of salvation. Then I'll take my sword and I'll slap my breastplate to make noise. Then I'll put my metal shoes and I'll be like this, in heaven. I'm victorious. No, you don't need the armor of God in heaven. How many of you agree with that? There's no devil anymore. Nobody to fight. Who are you going to fight? You need it now. So God gave you all the tools so you can be victorious here and now. Amen? And so the parable of a sower is the secrets of the kingdom of God. Jesus said this, if you don't understand this parable, you won't get kingdom living. You won't understand all the parables. Amen? And so today, I want to go in and preach on one verse. And that's Mark 4:25. And we're going to look at that one verse. A very uneasy verse for me to preach on. So let's open Mark 4:25. God wants us to be fruitful. For whoever has, let's read it together. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Now, that's a weird scripture. Wouldn't you agree? Almost makes Jesus look a little harsh. Jesus, what do you mean? To whoever has, you will add more. And what do you mean from those who don't have, you're going to take away what they have? That sounds bad. Jesus sounds evil here. Sounds like a rich, evil rich man. Well, that's not the first time he was accused of being an evil rich man. Open Matthew 25. And we'll look at verse 29 at first, and then we'll look at the context there. Because Jesus has been called an evil rich man before. Hallelujah. Let's Let's read verse 29. Matthew 25:29. For to everyone who has, more will be given. And he will have abundance. But for him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. You want me to open more scriptures? There's more. Same scriptures repeated in the Gospels. So it's not just some verse we take out of context. It's there. It's what Jesus taught. To him who has, more will be given. When we think of it through our culture, media, politicians, movie stars, they're all about helping the poor, right? And there's still so many poor. Did you know that there's I read an article that said that in the last 10 years, United States have given to the third world country over $50 billion in financial aid or money aid. But guess what? The countries that we gave the aid to didn't become richer. They actually became poorer. But us giving money, we didn't become poorer. We're actually still the richest. United States is still the richest nation. Because what happens is, the principle of Jesus, they work. He says, to him who has, more will be added. Now, he's not some evil man. He wants you to have in abundance. So that's what I'm going to teach to you today. The interesting thing is, by giving, I want you to see a different side. Because you all heard the side that we must give to the poor. And we have to. Jesus commands us to give to the poor. But no, by you giving to the poor, you're not changing their lives. You're making it a little more, you're making their bondage, poverty, a little more comfortable. Do you know that Martin Luther King didn't come and say this? You know what? We don't need to be free. We don't need to be equal. Black and white people don't need to be equal. As long as black people are just more comfortable. Notice he didn't say that. What did he say? I have a dream that someday, doesn't matter what color you are, you will be equal. You'll have the same opportunity. So watch this. By giving only to the poor, to those who don't have, you are not going to change their lifestyle. I have a friend. His name is Captain Bob. Actually, he died. He passed away. And he came in Argentina. They wanted to preach the gospel. And there was a lot of poverty there. So they're like, okay, we can bring chicken somewhere. They got a good contract for getting, you know, cheap chicken. And they brought it to Argentina. They had a mission and they opened the mission and they started giving people food. People came and ate. I mean, there was thousands. There was in line. And one day what happens is they didn't have any food. The container didn't come. They didn't get any food. True story. He told it to me firsthand. He said, when the container didn't come and there was no food, people gathered and created a mob. They had to get out for their life. They had to escape because they were going to lose their life because they didn't have any more food. And what he told me this, he said, by just giving people food or you know, helping them financially, you got to understand that you're not changing them. You're just prolonging their misery. You're just prolonging it. But Jesus is not interested in you being in bondage, any kind. He wants you to be fruitful. So, yes, we do help poor people. And I actually grew up in a poor neighborhood. If anybody knows where I grew up, seven, and my mom and dad is here, but I'm going to show it to you. How big my, and they can prove it. Our bedroom, we live seven boys. I'm the oldest. Eli is the youngest. And mom and dad, we lived in a one-room apartment. Let me show you how big that room was. Like right here. Maybe up to here. And maybe like this. They had a bed. I still remember that little bed. They were standing in a corner. And I don't know where we even slept. I really don't. On the floor. I mean, we were everywhere. So I grew up in a neighborhood, and I know that what God has done in my life, I want to teach you to go there. I want you to get to, and when I read this, I so agree with this principle that to whoever has, more will be given. Our job is not only to help the poor. Our job is to help poor get the gospel, the good news. And that good news will change their life. Amen. Let me continue and show you something about what this really means. Let's read verse 14, Matthew 25:14. The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents. Talents is like a bag of gold or silver or whatever it is. He gave him 5 bags of gold or silver. To one he gave 5 talents. To another he gave 2. And to the third one he gave 1 talent. To each one according to his ability. So as much as he could handle. You know, God is not going to give you more than you can handle. A lot of people ask something of God. You're a 2-talent person and you ask him for 5 talents. And no wonder you're overwhelmed. You're doing too much. Okay? But one person got 1 talent. Let's continue to read. To each one according to his ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Now, who is the servants here? And who is the man? Right away, I want to tell you that the man in this story, the rich man, is Jesus. And the servants are the believers. That's you and me. So let's look at it from that point of view, that he gave each one of us something. To some he gave 5 talents, to some he gave 2, and to some he gave 1 talent. But each one got something. Some people say, well, I don't have anything. No, God gave you something. You have something to give to this world. And so he left the country. Let me see, where am I at? What verse? 15. No, 16. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them, and he made another 5 talents. Okay. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After the long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying to him, Lord, look, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. So this man gets excited. Here's the master comes and he runs to him, and because he has something to show. Right? He did something with his gifts. He did something with his life. He did something with those things that were put in him. Okay? So the Lord said to him, verse 21, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. So notice the Lord didn't take the talents away. He gave it back to him and he said, because you were faithful with 5, here's 5 more. That's how God thinks. That's how he thinks. But notice, he gets accused here of being a rich, evil rich person. I'll show it to you. No, he does. He does. And he who has received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside these. And his Lord said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Again, second one didn't have as much as the first one. But he still multiplied what he had. Then watch this. Watch this third guy. This third guy we can learn from. Then he who received one talent came and said, listen to this. Listen to what he calls God. Lord, I knew you were to be a hard man. You are a hard, rich man. Watch this. He gets accused. Okay, watch this. Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown. Okay, that sounds weird to me. The person who had one talent comes to Jesus and says, you are a hard man, and then you reap where you have not sown. So what does that tell you that the Lord has done? He's sown in to these guys. Do you know that God is an investor? You probably never looked at him that way. Jesus invested his own life so he can gain all of us. God is an investor. God is like a businessman. There's another scripture that says this. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant. What does merchant mean? Businessman, an investor. See, when God puts something in you, it's not that I was born with these gifts. God didn't give them to me. Yes, he did. All of your abilities are leased to you. And God wants fruitfulness. He commanded it. Be fruitful and multiply. So this one man comes and says, you're a hard man. You're an evil, rich person. I didn't ask you to give me all these gifts or this one gift. I hid it. Let's continue. I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent into the ground. So what this guy does, remember, the first one takes his talents, and what does he do? He invests it. Bible says, scatter your seed in the morning, scatter your seed in the evening. Seed means invest. Don't just eat your seed. Your paycheck is not to be eating the whole thing. You know what I mean, right? You're not supposed to eat your paycheck. You're supposed to sow your paycheck and then eat the rest. Yeah. And some of us eat our best seed. And then we wonder, no wonder you don't look to the future. Because you have not sown. So what are you got looking forward to? I look forward to the future. Because in my teens, I gave my life to Jesus. In my 20s, I served him with all my heart. I look forward to my 40s. I'm in 30s right now. I'm looking forward to my 40s and 50s because I know there is a great harvest coming. People who didn't sow anything or not sowing anything, they have nothing to look forward to. God doesn't want you to be in that position. When you get to 30, 40, and you're like, oh man, another year. Oh no, another year, please. Start lying about your age then. Start dressing like hoochie mamas. Because you want to look younger. Because you, come on, why not just, let's do this thing God has us doing. Let's do it God's way so when we grow up, we don't have to worry about it. We know that we're going to reap because we have sown and we have sown a lot. Now, new life first. Jesus said, blessed are your ears that you get to hear this. You know what? I was looking. I want to make sure that I don't preach heresy, okay? So I look at other pastors and see what they preach on this scripture. And guess what? I have found nothing. I have people preach about different things, but you try to find somebody who preaches on that scripture, and you don't. It's not popular to preach this scripture. It almost sounds like you hate poor people. No, you want to help poor people. The gospel, number one place it was designed to go is to the poor. The gospel, the first place was supposed to heal the brokenhearted. If your gospel does not heal the brokenhearted, your gospel is crap. If your gospel doesn't help the poor, gospel supposed to come in into your life, but when it comes, it changes your life. It shouldn't leave you the same way it found you. Amen? It's got to leave you different. So when the gospel came when you were poor, what happens? When it leaves, you're different. When the gospel comes and you're sick, you're healed. When the gospel comes when you're brokenhearted, your heart is mended, it's put together. The gospel is not supposed to just come and not change. It's supposed to come and change everything. And the number one place the gospel is meant to come and change is to the poor. To change their situation. To help them start thinking biblical principles. Hallelujah. And so this man says, I was afraid. I went and hid my talent in the ground. I didn't want to make a mistake, maybe he meant. Yeah, I had a gift, but I didn't want to make a mistake. So I found a shovel, and I worked hard to dig a hole. And I make sure nobody knew where that hole is, you know? Maybe by this tree over here. And I just went digging, and watching. I covered it. I'm good. And then I lived in fear. Oh, what is he going to say? I'm just going to give it back to him. That's how this man lived. It was wrong. And listen to this. I have hidden your talent. So here's what's yours. And he comes and he says, here, take it. I don't want it. He throws it at him. I don't want to throw it at you because I... He throws it in his face, in God's face. And he says, here, I didn't do anything with what you gave me. And you know what? Maybe this man got upset. Maybe this man got offended because his friends got 5 talents according to their ability. Second friend got 2 talents and he got 1. And so he was maybe, I'm thinking, what was happening in the mindset of this person? Have you ever wondered? Well, if I had what he had, if I had 5 talents, yeah, of course I would do something with my life. You know how people say that? Well, if I had what he has, if I was as gifted as he is, of course I'm going to do something with my life. But what am I going to do with this? Somebody robbed me at birth. Did somebody rob you at birth? No. Everybody's born naked. There's nothing to rob there. You didn't come up with a Rolex watch, you know? With a nice golden necklace. No. Everybody came out the same. And God is not does not look upon the face. God looks upon the heart. You're equally the same as the other person. Your gifts are different, but you are the same. And let me continue to read this, and I'm hopefully going to finish here soon. But his Lord, listen to what God says to this man. I don't want you to be this man. I don't want anybody in this place to be that man or that woman. Nobody. Okay? You listen to the gospel too long and too much to be the same. Okay? He said, but the Lord answered him and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. So what was his problem? He was lazy. When the rest of the guys went and started sowing and planting those talents, you know, they started investing. He was sitting at home and saying, well, what if I invest and I lose? What if I make a mistake, Pastor Alex? So what if you make a mistake? You don't put all your money in one basket anyway. So if this one doesn't produce, okay, you lost here, you learned your lesson, but you can bounce back. Did you see that video? What did they say about rich people? They bounce back from defeat fast. Yes, I lost that one. But guess what? It's okay. I'm going to try again. I know I can do it. If let's say this. I tried driving a car first time and it didn't work. I'm not going to stop trying. I'm going to learn it. Right? Imagine if a person drove a car once and it didn't work. You know, they almost crashed it or something. And they said, that's it. I'm not going to do it anymore. because, you know, I might crash the car again. And they live in this fear. You got to drive me everywhere, you know. No, you don't do that. You go and do it again. And the thing that all rich people have in common, they lose a lot. They actually have percentage that they know they're going to lose. So guess what they do? They invested in risky things. So when they lose, they lose. If they win, they win. Then they win big. You will make mistakes, but it's okay to try and risk, calculated risk. How many of you know what's calculated risk? You don't just throw your money on a street and say, okay, I know that money is going to return to me. That's not smart. You don't just come to any banker or any friend that comes to you and says, give me your money, I'm going to invest it. And you don't research who he is, research what he's done, if he's legit or not legit. You know, that's calculated risk. You don't just risk foolishly. I'm going to invest in this business. Have you researched it? Is this for real? Well, I don't know. It just sounds good. It's a lot of money. Man, hold on. That sounds like a scam. Don't talk to me. I know what I'm doing. Don't talk to me. I've seen people do that. Now, we're not just talking about money. Because the Bible says, to him who has, more will be added. It's not just money. If you have love, you would think, if I'm a loving person, why would I need, wouldn't it be better, Jesus, to give it to the one who has no love? No, he says, to him who has, more will be given, love. To him who has peace, more peace will be given. Whatever you have, and so will multiply in your life. How cool is that? Some of you live paycheck to paycheck. You have no money saved. And you're asking, God, please bless me. If you had a son or a daughter who always wasted everything they had, would you give them more money? Would you increase their paycheck? No, you wouldn't. Same thing with God. God wants to know that we use our money for sowing so we can reap. Bible says, he who gives seed to the sower, spitting, and bread to the eater. So God gives you enough to sow and enough to eat. Are you eating at all? Imagine a farmer. I'm getting some response from this, so I'm going to go on this side. Imagine a farmer. He has 3 bags this spring. And he said, well, I'm hungry. You know what I'm going to do? So he says, let's invite all our friends and eat it all. Okay, so they invite them. They have good times for 3 days. They eat it, all the seed. And then sowing time comes, and he says, well, I don't have anything to sow. I'm still full, though. I don't need to worry about it. But then harvest time comes, and he is hungry. And then he's saying, Lord, what's going on? How come there's no food? And the Lord said, what did you do in the spring? A lot of people do that. My wife just went to a birthday party. And at that birthday party, this young family was throwing a birthday party. And they didn't have a lot of money. And my wife knows that. But the attitude that this mother had was like this. Don't worry about it. Let's all eat. And they went to a really expensive restaurant. She says, I got the money. Don't worry about it. We never have enough money, so might as well spend it today. My wife said, wow. I was looking, and I knew there was a lot. And I said, I'll pay for my own kids and myself. You know, you don't have to pay for me. And she said, no, don't worry. We're going to be okay. Not thinking. See, the doesn't have mindset. Let's just eat it all today. As long as we're happy today, let's not worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Let's not plan. Let's not care about what's going to happen tomorrow. And so the bill comes in. And this lady, young lady, looks at this bill and she has no money to cover it. See, that's how a lot of don't have mindsets, that's how they think. We have money. They think they have more than they actually do. We have money, so why don't we just live it up right now? They live it up, but the bill always comes at the end. The bill will always come at the end. And so some people look at it and the bill came and she's almost crying. And my wife said, listen, I'm going to pay for myself. Don't worry about it. Oh, please, would you please pay for yourself? See, that's how a lot of people think in our culture today. She's not the only one. That's how a lot of people think. Let me give you a few points of... So, haves and don't haves is a mindset. Notice, to him who has, more will be given. To him who doesn't have, will be taken away. Well, if he doesn't have, what are you going to take away from him? If he doesn't have, what are you going to take away from him? See, it's a mindset. In his mindset, he says, I don't have anything. But really, all three men was given something each. But the one who was lazy said, I don't have anything. I can't. I'm not like him. I'm not like her. They look at everybody. They're jealous of everybody. They hate everybody. But they don't look at themselves. And I don't want you to be that person. Are you getting me? I want to take you and shake you and say, I don't want you to be that person. This is, I don't have anything. Because everybody has been given something. Amen. But notice, you never are given the harvest. You're given the seed. A lot of you want the harvest. God never gives you a harvest. He gives you the seed to sow that will produce the harvest. He who gives seed to the sower. Whatever you sow, you will reap. A lot of people are confused, especially Christians. They think this. If God brings me what I'm praying for, then he answered the prayer. But what if God gives you a seed of what you're praying for? Let's say this. You're praying for apple tree. And he gives you a seed to plant. You're praying for apples, but God never gives you apples right away. He gives you seed so you can plant. If you get this principle, you will understand this world differently. Our world is already supernatural. This word is held by the word of God in Hebrews, it says. Our earth, our universe, the reason we stick together, the reason my molecules, the reason my atoms stick together, because they're clung together by the, glued together by the word of God. This world is already supernatural. And a lot of times we're like, well, this world is natural. I don't have to do anything and God just will do like this and something will happen in my life. No, no, no. God wants to work within this perimeter. Guys, God wants to work within this perimeter. Supernatural things of God look natural. Listen to me. Supernatural things of God. If you ever had God done something supernatural in your life, you didn't think it was supernatural. It wasn't hocus pocus. It wasn't like, whoa. It wasn't genie in a bottle, you know, made all your wishes come true. God uses this world. He created it. If he created it, then it's already supernatural. Why do we want to look for something even more? Yes, of course, he does miracles. But he wants us to live here. With what he gave us. With the laws that he gave us. With the principle of the kingdom that he gave us. And he says this. If you have money, if you start saving money, he will give you more money. If you start investing money, he will give you more money. If you start investing into your marriage, so it's a loving marriage, guess what? He'll give you more love in your marriage. If you start investing in yourself, being kind, and start sowing kindness, guess what you're going to reap? Kindness. It doesn't just work in money. It works in every area. Maybe you're a depressed person. Maybe you're one of those pessimist people, negative people. If you want to have joy, begin to plant joy. Begin to practice joy. And God will add more joy to your joy. If you have something zero, multiply by 1,000, how much is it? Zero. See, God needs a natural platform to work with, to bless on. If you're asking God for wisdom, but you're not going to this word and seeking what it means to be wise, he can't. Even if he multiplies your wisdom by 10,000 or 1 million, zero times 1 million is zero. God needs something to work with. You remember a woman who had two sons and her husband was a prophet and then he died, but they were in debt And Elisha comes, and she's like, Elisha, listen, help. I got a problem. The lenders want to come and take my sons into slavery. Do something. My husband was a good man, except he borrowed a lot of money. Elijah comes to her and says, Elisha comes to her and says, what do you have in your house? And she says, your servant has nothing in her house except a little bit of oil. Oh, he says, that's all you need. That's all God needs. God just needs something a little bit. If you want financial blessing in your life, you have to have some in your savings. That's just it. You got to be able to control your greed. You can't be moved by what you see. I want that. You can't be a compulsive buyer. Did you see the rich people go into stores, secondhand stores? What? See, we want to show off. We want to show people that we're better than we really are. That's pride. We want to dress better than we are. We want to drive better than what we can afford. And that's taken away from us. But God says, if you have something, it will be added to you. Let me give you just quickly, don't have mindset, the lazy, the fearful mindset, and do have mindset. So don't have. I just don't have it. The do's, I have all I need. Don't. God didn't bless me like you, brother or sister. You know, you're really blessed. God didn't bless me. The do's have, God blessed me as much as the next guy. Okay? Three, I can't do this. There's no way I'm going to be able to do this. The do's, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, they bounce back. They know. The reason that they said they self-promote, you know what self-promote means? They believe in themselves. They have confidence in themselves. Okay? I don't have enough money. I have all the money I need. Okay? It's somebody else's fault that I don't have anything. You know, the government. It's my parents. It's the society, man. It's the politicians. It's never my fault. It's somebody else's fault. The do's say this, I take responsibility for what I got. I deserve it, yeah. I'm in a place where I'm at because of the choices that I made. That's the do mindset. It's your fault I can't pay my phone bill. The don'ts, the do's, it's my fault that I have this type of phone bill. I talk too much. See the don'ts, it's never me. It's the lazy mindset. And God says, you know that laziness is a sin? You know there's satisfaction that you miss by having other people do something that you were supposed to do? You missed a bunch of joy. You missed a bunch of happiness by demanding, by manipulating other people to do something for you that you were supposed to do. I don't want anybody to be in the mindset of don'ts, who doesn't have anything. Because the sad reality is that it will be taken away from you. It doesn't matter how much you give to a person who has a mindset of I don't. He will waste it. But you give to the mindset who I do. I can do this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And watch what happens. Hallelujah. The don'ts say, I never had the opportunity, man. Nobody ever gave me an opportunity. The do's say, there's so many opportunities out there. I just got to find the right one that fits me. There's so much out there. They see opportunities. The don'ts, they never see it. There's so many jobs I can work at. The don'ts are, there's no jobs out there. Economy is bad. They're looking for do's. You know that employers are looking for the do's so they can bless them. You know that employers are looking for people who are like this. I can do it. I can do it. What do you want me to do, boss? Is there something more I can do? You know that the lazy servant who Jesus called him lazy, who dug his talent, they come and say, I'm not working for a rich man. All he's going to do is just get richer. That's the don't mindset. I'm not working for $10 an hour. I'm worth more than that. Hey. (laughs) If I don't get $15 an hour, I won't work. What? You never started 15. You start about 9 or 10. And then you work your way to 25 or 30. Or you start your own business or amen. You never start over here. You start over here. Young people, don't be too proud to start over here. Because God says He'll make you a head and not a tail. But you start always at the bottom, at the hooves. You start at the hooves and you make your way up. We as Christians, we want God to just hocus pocus magic, something happen in my life and boom, a miracle happened and I'm all that and a bag of chips and some Diet Coke. Jesus. That don't have say, well, we don't have enough anyway, so let's just spend it all. The do have say, well, we don't have enough, so let's just sow it all anyway. If we die today or tomorrow, what's the difference? Let's just sow it. Let's see, maybe God can make it grow. You see the difference? Elisha came to a woman in the worst drought in Israel. She had one son, and he came to her, and he's like, give me some food, woman. She's like, all I got is a little bit of water left, oil actually left, and a little bit of flour left. And he's like, well, give it to me. Let me eat it. Imagine that kind of a preacher. And she's like, well, we'll eat this and die. He's like, don't eat it. Give it to me. Let me eat. I know it's crazy, guys. And Bible says that what happened was, he says, if you give it to me and I'll eat, God will multiply your oil and your flour. And what happened was that the miracle of that oil never ran dry for the rest of the drought until it rained, and flour never disappeared. They ate and ate and ate, and it just kept reappearing. True story. In a Bible, 1 Kings chapter 17, I believe. See, I will eat it and I will die. That's the mentality of the don't haves. The ones that do have, they say, well, let's plan. Let's see if we can do something with this. Let's plan for the future. Let's work hard. Don't haves have a mentality of wishing. Oh, I wish I could win a lottery. Hallelujah. I wish I could, my rich uncle will die or grandpa or somebody will die. Listen, stop wishing people would die. Come on. My wife helped me with this one. She's not here, but I'm going to use it. She said, yesterday I was preaching this to her, and she said, I wish there was a pill so I can lose weight. So I can eat it. And I said this, and I shouldn't have, but I couldn't help it. I'm saying, so we can eat all we want, right? We can just go, 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 and it'll just all dissipate somehow. I don't know. So the don't have mindset is, I wish. It's a wishing mentality. It's the effortless promotion. It's work less, get paid more. It's the mindset that says, I don't want any responsibility, but boy, you have to pay me. I pay you for responsibility. You get paid for how much responsibility you take upon yourself. Amen. A lot of people work physically. And some of you are going to work physically or mentally, right? But let me tell you something. The work, any work, physical or mental, are equally hard to one another. When I was in tree service business, I was climbing trees and pulling limbs and picking up big logs. I mean, it was just like, it was a hard work. And so I always dreamed of sitting in the office, thinking that when I'm in the office, it's going to be easy. And then I'm like sitting in the office and nothing gets done. And you know, I'm a fruitful person. I like to see my fruits of my work. Here I come to the office. I go on Facebook, you know, I go on eBay. I go to all the auctions. I go to all the news stations, you know. I mean, I pretty much know everything that's going on. And then at the end of the day, I feel like crap. Why? Because I didn't do anything. I feel guilty. I feel like wasted my day. And I hate wasting my day. That's not productive. That's not fruitful. And so the next day I go and I start thinking. And when you work with your mind starts sending you so much distractions. Oh my goodness. It takes effort just to focus in that on the desk to do what you're supposed to do. Let me tell you, working with your mind is harder than working with your hands. Some of you are wishing and you don't know what you're wishing. I'm just tired of this work that I'm doing. I wish I had an office job, blah, blah, blah. No. It's hard work to work with your mind. You have to plan. You have to think. You have to make sure everybody else, you know, for somebody else to do a job, how to do a job, and things like that. Listen, so the Jesus is trying to help you. He's trying to help me. He says, you want to understand kingdom principles? This is how it works. Whatever you have, I will add. Remember, the Bible says, draw unto God, and He will draw unto you. But if you stand there and says, come, Jesus, come. Come, oh, Jesus, oh, help me, Jesus. He'll be like, no, you start coming to me, I'll start coming to you. You make one step, and I'll make quite a few steps. See, God wants to put supernatural upon your natural. To him who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. Don't hate people who have abundance. They're sowers. They live below their means. They shop sometimes in Goodwills, and you don't know it. Just looks good. You know that some girls wear a dress once, and they'll never wear it again? And they paid $200-$300 for it? Somebody else can just go get it? For $20. You only wear it once. Amen. Some of you are looking at me like, what are you talking about? Just tell me that God is going to bless me. You are blessed already. I'm not going to tell you that. Now, what are you going to do with that? The talent is the blessing. What are you going to do with the blessing? Are you going to sow it? Are you going to plant it? Are you going to... And then produce great harvest. And listen to this. I'm almost done. He said, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew. This is Jesus. This is the man you thought was soft and just nice. And you know. But look at him. He's a businessman here. He says, you wicked and lazy servant. Wicked means twisted. Your mind is not thinking straight. It's thinking twistedly. How could he come to Jesus and say, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, when he just sown one talent into him? How could he say that, Jesse? I mean, really, how could somebody say, I didn't get anything, when he just got something? And he said to them, you lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him, from the one, the lazy one, and gave it to him who has 10 talents. Listen to this. He gave him one talent, the 5 talents to the guy. The guy reproduced it to 10 talents. Notice Jesus didn't take his 5, his cut out. You know, like, well, here's 5, you made 10, give me my 5 back. Notice Jesus didn't do that. He didn't take his 5 back. Listen to this. This is awesome. Therefore, take the talent from him, from the one who has 1, and give it to him who has 10 talents. So guess what? He gave you the talents. You multiplied it. He didn't take it back. He said, now continue to do that. And he took it away from the one. And it says here, to the one who has already 10. To him who has, more shall be added. Now, I want to say it this way. To him who sows, more will be added when he reaps. To him who doesn't sow what he have will be taken away. Whatever you don't sow, you lose. Whatever you don't use, you lose. Now stop looking at somebody else for what they're doing. Look, God has something for you to do in this world. God has given you some gifts that you can multiply. And you know what? It's a good feeling to be able to multiply something and come before your maker and said, look, you gave me this. It's not even mine. But look what I've done. God just doesn't want to give you 5 more talents. He wants you to make 5 more talents. Because if he gives you, you had no work, no effort invested in it. But when you work hard with it, then you cherish it. You work with him. And God says in Deuteronomy chapter 8, he says, when I bring you into promised land, and you prosper, and your hands do good, and you make money, and you have cattle, and you have sheep, and you have children, you have vineyards, and things like that, don't you ever say that it's my hand that made me prosperous. It is God who gives us ability to get wealth. Look at the trap here. The trap of a rich man is this. It's for him to say that it's my hands that made me prosperous. He says, don't you ever say that, because it is God who gives you ability. He gives you talents according to your ability to get wealth. How cool is that? So, my question to you, what do you have? Stop saying, I don't have anything, because I'm not as pretty as her. She gets anything she wants. No, it's not about that. Looks won't, it's not the looks. I don't have the business mind like him. It's not about that. You don't have to look at him. Don't have to look at her. Look at you. Look at you. Look what you have. And he's blessed you with so many gifts. I bet you there's people, tons of people here who have 5 to 2 talents. I mean, there's probably only a few here who have 1 talent. You are all blessed. Living in America, you are blessed. I'm so glad I came here. If my parents didn't come, I would still come myself here, because this is the best nation to live in. Amen. Our poor people are rich compared to people in the world, third world country. Our prisons are better than some how people live. Our prisons get better food, better shower, better TV than people in the third world countries. Guys, we're rich. Let's stop complaining. Let's let New Life Church not be the church who's always a victim mentality. Oh, I'm so poor. I can't do anything. God didn't give me anything. No. He has given you something. Let's take it and use it. Young man, listen to me. You can't be working at that job forever at McDonald's. You don't have to be just a manager at McDonald's. Let's go higher. Let's dream bigger. You're smart. You're strong. You have a good mind. Begin to use it and begin to multiply. Don't you get stuck in a job. Listen to me. Don't you get stuck in a job where there's no responsibilities and you'll never go anywhere. Don't get stuck there. Always continue to grow. Always continue to increase. Because at the end, God will ask you, what have you done with what I've given you? What will you say? I won't ask you. God will ask you, what have you done with what I have given you? And you'll be coming up with excuses, but before God, you'll be so transparent, you won't be able to hide anything. Every excuse you make, he'll tell you, my word. Anything you come up with. Oh, I grew up, I give you power to overcome. I give you strength. And what did you do with it? Please stand to your feet.